Hello and welcome to Run the Table. I'm your host, Bryce Tinson. Fortunately, we don't have Obert right now. We might have him a little bit later, but he's got to put out some fires, so to speak. So he's a little preoccupied right now. But it is Friday, and really, I cover high school football, so don't have a ton of time to get this episode up. So have to deal with the circumstances that be. So what do we have for you today? We've got the pick show. We've got college football. We've got NFL. Week one of NFL, week two of college football. I'm super excited. We got a really good slate of games, in my opinion, both on the college football side and the NFL side. So I think it's going to be a very good week to watch some football. So where are we going to start? Obviously, we're going to start in college football. That usually happens first, right? Friday, this week, which is a disgrace to the sport, and obviously Saturday. So the very first game we're going to talk about, I guess let's talk about last week. I went 3-3, Obert went 3-3, and Mike, I believe, went 4-2. He had a really good week. I was 1-3 going into Sunday and Monday, and then Florida State won and Duke won. So those were two good picks on my part. Nobody hit an underdog. Looking to change that this week. Let's just get right into it. First game, big noon kickoff. Nebraska traveling to Boulder, Colorado to take on the number 22. That's right. You heard it. They are ranked the number 22 Colorado Buffaloes. And the Buffaloes are laying 3 points. This line was plus, they would have been plus 7 at home a few weeks ago on those early season lines. Yeah, that line's moved 10 points in favor of the Buffaloes. Listen, the way they played last week offensively, I think it was damn near a perfect game for them. Defensively, there's still a lot of question marks. And we kind of knew that there would be because of, you know, what they brought in the transfer portal. However, Shador Sanders played fantastic. Travis Hunter played out of his mind. Dylan Edwards, the true freshman, had himself a really nice day. Now, TCU's defense, we knew, wasn't going to be very good. We knew the offense even wasn't going to be very good with what they were losing. They weren't last year's team, right? They came out, Colorado did, as a 20.5-point underdog and won that game outright. Now they got the expectations on their side. Can they do it again? Mike and Bobby say yes, they can. They're taking Colorado to win this game and do it by more than 3. Me, on the other hand, I am not. Give me Nebraska. I don't know if I'm going to take it outright. I know the number's only 3, and it's a lot easier to win a game outright by 3 than to lose it by, or win a game outright by There he is. Oh my goodness. Here's the sighting. We're talking about Colorado, Nebraska. Let me get your mic up here real quick. Woo! What an entrance. Okay. Colorado, Nebraska. Give me your thoughts.
I like Colorado in this game minus what, 3.5?
Yeah, it's 3. It's 3.
Yeah, I like Colorado. Listen, I think Nebraska actually looked pretty good despite getting beaten in that Minnesota game. As compared to how I thought they would look, I thought, you know, I did pick them as my underdog, but I thought it would kind of be a while for the offensive line, defensive line to kind of have success. But they were able to move the football.
Yeah.
And they were able to kind of control Ethan and the Minnesota offense for a large portion of the game. So there was some impressive aspects of the Nebraska team in their week one loss against Minnesota, but does look like they will really struggle to keep up with the skill and overall speed of a Colorado team that put up 45 points against TCU, who, again, like I think you mentioned, I heard you, doesn't have the strongest of defenses, still an impressive showing against a Power 5 opponent. So I do think there's a separation clearly between, you know, Colorado's ability to instantly bring in talent and get them acclimated to what Deion wants to do, and just kind of an overall sluggish feeling of Nebraska's week one performance. So I'm going to take Colorado. You know, I do think there will be sort of an aspect of, you know, Shador's now on tape, right? And,
yep.
And there's kind of more that you can go off of and what he likes to do, what he doesn't like to do, what his tendencies are, what the offense will look like, and how much Travis Hunter will actually be incorporated into that. Their running back is fantastic. So everything that was so easy in the TCU game, I think, will become more difficult, and this will be a little bit more of a low-scoring game. But I don't think, you know, Jeff Sims and the Nebraska offense can quite keep up with what Colorado has to offer. So I would say Colorado wins this game 31-21. And they beat Nebraska.
I got Nebraska, and I was saying this just before you came out. I'm going to take them. It's a lot easier to win this game outright than it is to lose it by, you know, 1 or 2 points.
Right.
But something about what I saw from them, at least in the trenches against Minnesota, just it gives me some hope that maybe this team can figure it out. And yes, Jeff Sims is a passer. Makes you want to pull your hair out. He didn't take any step from what he was at Georgia Tech last year. The same quarterback. However, he is a pain in the ass to bring down in the run game. And this is me checking Vegas a little bit.
Okay.
Because I think that they're putting too much onus onto the skill positions and not enough onto the offensive and defensive lines. Those are what win you football games. You can't just win with skill players.
At least you hope so.
I hope so. That's why I'm taking Nebraska. I think Nebraska dominates up front. I think defensively, they get after Shedeur Sanders, make his life uncomfortable. And I think offensively, they're able to run the football and do it very well. Give me Nebraska to win this game 21-20. Same score that we saw last night in the Thursday night football game.
Who won that game?
The Detroit Lions, baby. We started one. We'll get into it. I won't waste your time right now. Number 20, Ole Miss. Laying 7.5 on the road, going to Tulane. How about that? You don't see that one too often. So the Green Wave are the number 24 team in the country. So it's a top 25 matchup.
Yes.
They're welcoming in Ole Miss. Now, you remember Tulane beat Kansas State at their place in Manhattan last year.
Yeah.
Now they got a Power 5 team, an SEC team, coming to their place. They played really well in that second half against South Alabama last week. But Ole Miss put up, I think, like 60 points or something
right.
In week one against Mercer. Yes, it was Mercer. But they look kind of good. What do you think?
I like Tulane. Maybe even a win. I think this is a close game, a very close game. The numbers at 7.5, that's a great number for Tulane. At home last week, beat a skilled South Alabama team who went what? I think we said 10-2
last year?
Last year.
I don't know.
Handedly
at
home.
Game.
They seem to be having momentum. I would expect this place to be not just packed, but loud.
Oh, no, it's sold out. It's sold out.
Yeah, so.
I think it's Yeoman Stadium.
Yeah, I think this place will be buzzing. We saw it a little bit for the American Athletic game against UCF. And so yeah, it should be a good one for Tulane. I think they cover the spread. I don't know if they win. I'm a big Lane Kiffin guy, so it will be very close. But I'll go Ole Miss to win.
Yeah.
I'll go Ole Miss to win. I think they win. You're right. Ole Miss looked fantastic. It's Jackson Dart over there, I believe. Mm-hmm. He had like 4 or 5 touchdowns.
He looked a lot better this year than he did last year. I'll say that
so
much.
So I think there's a lot of positivity with that. But Tulane at home, especially against really good Power 5 teams for whatever reason, seemed to turn it on. Did so against USC. Did so against Kansas State. And at worst, hopefully I'm getting a backdoor cover like we had in the Cotton Bowl. And they even won that game,
yeah. Mike's also riding with Tulane. Listen, I hate this number. I absolutely hate this number. 7.5 is one of the worst numbers you could possibly have in gambling. Yeah, I'm going to take Ole Miss. I think that South Alabama didn't offer the type of problems that Ole Miss is going to offer Tulane. And as good as Tulane is as a program under Willie Fritz, they are not going to ever play a game that has a top 5 running back in college football the rest of this season, this entire year. Quinshon Judkins is legit. He's an elite-level running back as a true sophomore. And as good as Jackson Dart looked last week, I think they're going to be able to rely on his legs. I mean, we're talking about SEC offensive line. There's a step up there, right? We've seen it before. Those SEC lines are different when they play Group of Five. We've seen them lose to the Group of Five before, but this Ole Miss team is good. I was a little bit hesitant on them preseason because I just didn't know what their quarterback position was going to look like. Jackson Dart looked very good last week, a lot better than I thought he was going to. And as good as Michael Pratt is in that Tulane offense, I'm going to take Ole Miss to win this game by 10. I think it's going to be a 41-31 type game. I think that Ole Miss is going to be able to move the ball, and I think Tulane is going to be able to, they're going to keep up in the first half, but that second half, it's just going to be that extra, you know, Ole Miss has just got the talent. Lane Kiffin's a really good coach, and that's not to say Willie Fritz isn't. I just think there's a bigger gap in talent there than what people are giving it credit for. Next game. This is probably the one I'm most excited for because of how ugly it was last year. We got number 23, Texas A&M, going to Miami, Coral Gables. Miami University at Coral Gables, main campus. Although they're playing at Hard Rock, which is actually in Miami. Texas A&M, 4-point favorite on the road. They're number 23 in the country. Miami unranked. Both teams looked really good week one. For Texas A&M, it was the offense. For Miami, it was the defense. You didn't make a pick yet. So I'm curious to think what you're. I'm curious to know what you're thinking right now.
I just didn't put it in the doc. I've been on Miami for a little while.
Okay.
Yeah, I like Miami in this one. I know the line's been moving down for some reason. Which
is weird. The line is. I love that.
It is what it is.
No spoilers.
I think this is a low scoring game. I think Miami only held Miami of Ohio to 3 points. Yep. The defense actually looked a lot better.
That run defense was fantastic.
Let's say they were in the Middle Tennessee game last year when they lost that game outright. The spread for that game was like 16 points.
And they lost, what, 45 to 17 or 24 or something like that?
Yeah, for Middle Tennessee.
It was 16 and a half last week, I think.
Yeah, it was 16 and a half last week. Miami won by 35, looked good. I don't know much about their offense, but I do know Texas A&M. OC is Bobby Petrino. He's still an older school guy. He isn't this offensive mastermind, young buck, like, let's say, Garrett Riley. He's, you know, sort of an older school guy. But I think that this becomes a lower, ugly scoring game, lower scoring game. And that Miami does just enough to cover the spread. I think at worst, Texas A&M wins by 3, but I'm actually going to take Miami outright to continue the trend of these ACC teams beating SEC teams. We've seen it with North Carolina and South Carolina. We've seen it with Florida State and LSU. So give me Miami to pull off the upset at home against A&M, hosting the big-time SEC team, ranked SEC opponent. I think they will have, you know, at least some form of home field advantage in this matchup, and I think they do just enough to cover, if not win this game.
Mike's going with Texas A&M, as am I. I think that Texas A&M wins this game by 13 points. I think that when you look at the talent on Texas A&M's roster, it had always been there. It was just a matter of figuring it out, right? Last year, like, it was like, I just don't believe in Jimbo calling plays, and they went 5-7. This year, when he hired Bobby Petrino, originally I was like, you know what? I don't love that because of who Bobby Petrino is as a person. And then I had some sense talked into me by the one and only Josh Pate. You don't need him to be a good person. You just need him to be good at calling plays offensively. And what I saw in week one was he's very good at calling plays with this kind of talent. I don't know. This is probably the most talented team that he has ever had to, like,
maybe an Arkansas team or something crazy.
I don't know, man. This team is legit. Connor Wegman, 5-star true sophomore quarterback, played out of his mind last week. Yes, it was against New Mexico. I understand that, you know, some of these takeaways and reasonings are going to be, well, they played a bad team last week. Everybody played a bad team, right? Like, it's tough to come to conclusions about teams after week one. So you're really taking a lot of preconceived notions from the preseason.
Yeah.
And trying to parlay that into, you know, with week one into what you can expect from a team in week two. And I think that when you talk about Anaya Smith and Evan Stewart, who are both true sophomore wide receivers for Texas A&M, they're legit wide receiver talents. I think that Texas A&M defense didn't get enough credit last year. I didn't give it enough credit last year. They were a top 10 statistical defense last year. In the past, they struggled against the run. I think the run defense is looking a lot better this year. DJ Durkin is their defensive coordinator. Right. Found that out last week during the game. I was like, whoa, really? Kind of an interesting ensemble of coaches there.
Jimbo, Bobby Petrino.
DJ Durkin. I just think that's
wild.
I think this Texas A&M team, after watching LSU play against Florida State, I think they could be the second best team in the SEC West this year, which I didn't think I was going to say after what I saw last year, but I've been very impressed with everything that I've seen up until this point. So I'm going to go with Texas A&M to win outright. I think they win 27-13. That's what I'm going to go with. I just don't believe in the Miami offense yet. TVD is going to have to prove it to me.
Okay.
It's just what it's going to have to be. But I do think Miami's defense is talented enough to contain Texas A&M a little bit. Next game, the biggest game of the week, 7 o'clock primetime ESPN, number 11 Texas. The Longhorns traveling to Tuscaloosa to take on number 3 Roll Tide Alabama Crimson Tide.
Why did you do horns down?
Because I can't do
orange.
I can't do horns up.
Don't do anything. God.
Horns down. Alabama, 7-point favorite at home. This line, I don't know how I feel about it. I know you're going to take Texas regardless of what the line was. Yeah. But
It kind of makes sense because it's like, what, Alabama's a 4-point favorite?
I guess on a neutral site. Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's kind of how I reasoned it out. But I'm taking Texas, and I'm taking them to win outright. Yeah, I said it. I think, listen, Sark recruited Jaden Milroe. Like, he's going, or is it Jalen Milroe?
Jalen, yeah.
Jalen Milroe. He's going to have probably some idea of you know, what to do. Obviously, he's an offensive guy, but they're going to have an idea of what to do. Okay, so there's that. He's an incredible athlete and will absolutely provide issues. The good news is, I think Texas has the athletes to keep up with him, and I think their defense proved they are fast, they can fly around the field, they can make plays, and they did make plays. Obviously, it was against Rice, a food, but they just did so. Food, right? They made a lot of plays. I think they forced 2 or 3 turnovers. Secondary was really good. A lot of guys flying around the field, so I like that. Then you think about the Texas offense. I think there was a little bit of saving a lot of the best stuff for the Alabama game, which we saw in the Alabama game last year, but Quinn Ewers goes down after like 4 or 5 plays, and then Hudson Card's in the game and it actually plays decent and then like breaks every bone in his body or something like that and can't run for the second half of
that
game.
Was bad. I think he tweaked, like he pulled his hamstring or something, right. Like
and just like could not run, so there was that.
And they still only lost that game by 1.
Based off a BS safety call. So I think Sark really wants to win this game. I think Sark really needs to do well this year. I think everyone knows that, including Sark. I think he's going to do whatever he can to win this game. If that means crazy trick plays, if that means whatever, it means a lot to him coming from Alabama. But listen, I think Quinn Ewers needs to have a huge game, and he knows that too. He's got 2 really good quarterbacks behind him, you know, literally waiting. You know, he's looking down the barrel of like getting benched if he plays pretty poorly. You know, you've got Xavier Worthy, who had a pretty good game, but, you know, didn't really go crazy against Rice. You have the tools and a couple of running backs who played pretty well, especially in the later part of that Rice game. I think they have the tools on offense. That's going to be the big thing to move the ball, score points, and win this game, because their defense looked fantastic against Rice. And a lot of moments last year, it looked really good. Held TCU to so few points and really kept that team in the game. The entirety of the game, kept them in the Alabama game for so long, you know, so looked great against Oklahoma last year, and the offense looked great against Oklahoma. So there were so many, you know, different points where the defense really succeeded and played well. I think the same is true in this Alabama game. I think it's a very close game, but I say Texas wins it 24-23.
Ooh, I like that. Mike's going with Alabama, laying the 7. Listen, I think it's too many points. Even if I didn't think Texas was going to win, I think it's just too many points. Like, Texas is too good of a team, even with home field advantage. I still don't like the number. I love the number picking Texas. Don't love the number if I'm picking Alabama. I think Texas wins this outright. I'm with you, which I've been saying all offseason, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that I think Quinn Ewers takes that next step. He had some rough throws against Rice.
Yep.
But I do think that, like you mentioned, the play calling was kept in a box a little bit. Yep. Just so that, you know, why show something? You literally have the toughest opponent on your schedule week 2. Why show anything in week 1 when you're playing food? Like, it doesn't make any sense. But I think that I love calling him food. It's awesome. Yep. So but I think that Quinn Ewers has the weapons around him. Last year didn't really, like, he still had Xavier Worthy, still had Jatavion Sanders, but adding a guy like A.D. Mitchell, who played really well last week, just needs to stay healthy, right? That's been his thing, his entire career at Georgia. Having Jordan Whittington this year, because I don't think he played last year.
Don't remember.
I think this offense is going to show more of what you saw early on before Quinn got hurt last year. I think that they're going to be explosive. I think this Alabama defense is still a little, you know, young in the back end. They got guys, but they're replacing Jordan Battle, Brian Branch, D'Amico Hellums. Like, that's three dudes that have been starting there, were captains on the back end, and it's not easy to replace those guys. And so DeMarco Helms, I think, is his name. And so I think that they're going to be able to take advantage of that. You mentioned the running backs. They played well. I think the Texas's offensive line is pretty underrated. I mean, you talk about Calvin Banks, who was a freshman All-American last year. He was all Big 12 as a freshman. He came in, walked on campuses, was immediately their best offensive lineman. And I think the defense, we saw it last week. They're playing really well. They're playing really good football right now. And it seems like the recruiting has finally paid off. And I don't know if they changed their defensive coordinator. I don't know who their defensive coordinator is. I don't know if I can find it. But I've been really impressed. I was really impressed with how they played last week. As for Alabama, I don't think Jalen Milroe's a great thrower. I think he showed that he can make some throws. So I think they're going to have to rely on the ground game, which is probably better for them. I think that they lose in a shootout. Plus, that offensive line's fantastic. They don't have the weapons on the outside. That's the biggest problem for Alabama. They're not nearly as bad as the Clemson weapons, but like we saw Alabama like three or four straight years have three guys get taken every single year in the draft, and now it's like
on some NCAA 14 shit.
Exactly. And now after the Jameson Williams and the John Metchies, it's like, well, What do they have now?
Right.
It's like Jahmyr Gibbs was their best offensive weapon last year, and this year it's like, well, I don't really know who they have. And so I think Texas is able to go into Tuscaloosa.
Trip up on that sometimes.
I do. I always call it Tuscaloosa. Don't know why. I think they go into Tuscaloosa and they upset the Crimson Tide. I think it's the third time. Yes, I saw it, the third time that Alabama has been a home dog in like. Or no, that what was it? Less than it was a touchdown or less
gotcha.
Favorite at home in like the past decade.
Wow!
And it was 2019 LSU and 2020 Georgia for the other 2 years. So kind of crazy numbers there. Last game we're going to talk about the fifth slot was a little bit tough because listen, this game it lost a little bit of its lust. Number 13 Oregon is going to Lubbock, Texas as 6.5-point favorites taking on the Texas Tech Red Raiders a week after they came an embarrassing loss to Wyoming. Mike's going with Oregon. You're going with
Oregon. Listen, I actually do think this could be interesting for Texas Tech if Wyoming and that episode was sort of like a look ahead sort of deal where they were like, all right, hey, you know, especially getting up 17-0, because that kind of shows you like, all right, you know what, it's week one, we're going to go out and smash them. And then at that point, it's kind of just like, we got Oregon next week, biggest game of the season up maybe for the entire year, except for maybe Texas.
Texas is their biggest, in my opinion.
A lot of that, I think, might have been going against them a little bit, and they just really didn't play very well, and then they just got kind of caught up in the moment, and then it's, you know, Laramie, so it's just like, you know, just a lot of things going kind of the wrong way. So I think they're a lot better than they showed on tape in that Wyoming game. We watched the entire thing.
Unfortunately.
but having said that, Oregon looked maybe one of the five best teams in college football in week one. And I know they were playing Portland State. We're saying this, but at least they didn't
lose out. They put up 81 points.
Right. They put up 81 points rather than losing outright. So
can you imagine if they lost to Portland State?
So I think there's a little bit of this too for Oregon where it's like they should have a chip on their shoulder. They were ranked down 15.
They were down 7-6. In the first quarter, at one point.
That's funny. But they should have a bit of a chip on their shoulder. They have been overshadowed by a lot of the Pac-12 teams and were ranked below Utah in week one and Washington and USC, of course. And so I would assume that they would come out kind of, you know, with their hair on fire against the first real opponent they played all season. I would expect Texas Tech to do the same thing coming off of a loss. But with the, you know, abilities that Bo Nix has, we've seen some of those huge flaws in the Texas Tech defense going up against Wyoming, who certainly wasn't the offensive firepower that that you know Oregon can be. This could be major trouble for the Texas Tech defense. I think Texas Tech plays well, and I actually think they only lose this game by 7, so I think it's right there, but I think Oregon wins 38-31.
I'm taking Texas Tech. I am doing it again. I'm a glutton for punishment. Yes. I am. I'm having a tough time with some words today. Let's breathe in.
It's because you know what this is? This is your soul telling you not to bite at the carrot again.
I'm taking Texas Tech. The reason why is it's wounded animal mode.
Okay.
They
hungry dog runs faster.
Exactly. They desperately need a win. You cannot have that performance that you did last week after they went up 17-0 and not I know the way Joey McGuire coaches that team. He is he's got their a fire under their ass, and I think they're going to come out, and I think they're going to play. I think they're going to play really well. On top of that, they're at home. They're in Lubbock, in front of their home crowd for the first time this season, when they had sky high expectations for their team, and it's a 7 o'clock kick. It's a nighttime game. It's prime time. I love all of these factors for Texas Tech to at least cover the spread. I think that it's going to be a very close game. Now, last year, when I can't remember the exact number, when Texas Tech was a home dog, they won both games outright. So I think they play, I don't think they play much better at home than they do on the road. And I think that Oregon, I know they'll come ready to play, but man, I just think there's something about that wounded animal, hungry dog runs faster, you know, type of mentality that Texas Tech, I'm going to do it. I'm going to stick with my gut. I picked it in the preseason. I'm picking it now. Texas Tech wins this game outright.
Woo!
Okay. Now that that's out of the way, we can get into locks and underdogs.
You'll have to come back to me a little bit. Wait, I know my lock, though.
You know your lock? Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll do my lock. I'll do Mike's lock. Okay, so Mike is going with Utah -8 against Baylor. It's at Baylor. I kind of like that, especially if Blake Shapen doesn't play. Because all Baylor was able to do last week was throw the football, and they still lost once he got hurt. I think he threw for like 490 yards or something like that, 450. But I don't love the way Utah looked. I'll be honest. But it's kind of like a mid versus bad.
It's a mid off
at this point, which is sad to say about a Utah team.
Right.
I'm taking Kansas at home, 3-point favorites against Illinois. I talked about this a little bit on the last episode. I'm just going back to the last team that got me a win in the locks. I haven't even looked at my NFL locks, but I know those were bad too.
Right.
I know those teams didn't always lose outright, but I don't think I hit one in, I don't know, probably that same amount of time frame. It just wasn't good. So I'm going with Kansas, going back to the well. It's only 3 points. I feel really good about this Kansas team, especially getting Jalen Daniels back. I just got to hope that Illinois kind of, you know, looks more like they did against Toledo than I think they could look this week. I think Luke Altmyer actually kind of surprised me last week. But the defense, you know, outside of Jerzon Newton, they had to replace a lot of guys in that secondary, replacing a defensive coordinator. That Toledo offense is good, don't get me wrong, but I think Kansas's offense is just a bit better, and it gives me some confidence being in Lawrence at home in front of a crowd I would expect to be. That game's happening tonight, by the way, Friday night when we're recording.
Right.
7:30 kick, I believe, and so I think that place is going to be packed. I think they're going to be ready to go. We'll see by the time this is posted how stupid or smart I sound. Who knows?
Yeah.
Your lock.
I'm taking Houston over food, rice, going against food again. Listen, so Houston's a 9-point favorite at Rice. This is a game I liked earlier. I haven't put it in the doc yet, but I was just kind of trying to find it. I love Houston in this game. They beat UTSA week one. The reason why the number's so low is because the offense only put up 17 points in that game. But UTSA was a team that, you know, got receiving votes in the top 25. Like, this was a very real team that was favored in that game. That doesn't bother me at all. And watching Rice, they were abysmal in that Texas game, especially offensively with the errors they made. How bad JT Daniels looks. Like, it is a bad, bad team.
On his fourth team in, I think, 5 years.
Yes,
and he, or 6 years, and he looks just as bad as he did at USC.
Yes, USC, Georgia, West Virginia, now food. I mean, this guy's been everywhere. And yes, it's on the road, but if you've ever watched a Rice game, that stadium is huge.
It's
huge, and no one's there.
Nobody's there.
It's like, it would be one thing if it was like 15,000, but it's like a really compact, like 12,000 in there. No, it's like 8,000 and 47,000. Yeah, I'm sure their athletics website bumps it up to like 25K, but whatever, you know. And but yes, it is zero home field advantage, none. So not really worried about that. I think Houston kind of shows off some better offense and wins this game convincingly. I would say 31-10, something like that.
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah. That number's kind of a funky number.
And I like picking Houston, so.
Mike's going with Texas State +13.5 at UTSA. I kind of like the thought process here from Mike, because UTSA is a real, like we just talked about it, they're a really good team for Group of Five this year. The question is Texas State really that good, or is Baylor that out of sorts?
Yep.
And in Mike's case, he gets the 3 points if he wins. And so the thought process is, well, they either carry this momentum over and they win this game, or they just get the crap kicked out of them by UTSA and I don't really have to pay attention to this game. I kind of respect it. For me, I'm going back a single-digit spread. You kind of picked a weird... No, you haven't done your underdog yet. Are you still looking?
Yeah. There are a couple ones I like other than my lock. By the way, Wake Forest only get Arizona minus 10 against Vandy. Vandy looks terrible.
I like Washington State at home plus 6 against Wisconsin. The number did go down to 5.5 for a little bit, then it's back up to 6. So I'm kind of liking that. I kind of liking that movement a little bit, you know. I at least get 1 point. Because I think that Cam Ward is going to offer a lot of problems to Wisconsin. A Wisconsin defense that admittedly looked a lot worse than I thought it was going to.
By the way, they're playing in the Big Ten West. They haven't seen anything like him.
No, Cam Ward is literally the best quarterback that this Wisconsin team will probably play all year.
Yeah, that I know of.
Unless you think Luke McCord is insane, or Kyle McCord is insane. No. It's Cam Ward. He had, 500 or 400 some yards last week and 5 touchdowns. That doesn't even account what he can do on the ground. Listen, this Washington State team beat Wisconsin last year, and I get that it was still with Paul Chryst at the helm. But the way that Wisconsin looked last week did not instill my preseason belief of them winning 10 games and winning the Big Ten West.
Right.
That offense looked bad. Tanner Mordecai just didn't look like a very good quarterback. So give me Wazoo to pull off the upset, win at home in Pullman, and send Wisconsin back to Madison 1-1.
I have a California team +6.
I love this game.
It's at 10:30 too, so it'll just be something to watch when we get there. You know what? I put Auburn in my top 25, believe it or not, just because I thought Hugh Freeze is a coach, and you know what? He's led teams to some, even if they're not very good, to some really good seasons. But this California team absolutely pants North Texas in week 1.
This number was at 7.
Yeah,
yesterday.
By the way, FPI likes me at 59% California.
Yeah, they also like 55%. Home teams a lot, though.
Yeah, they do. They love home
so.
But listen, so
cross country travel.
Yeah, Auburn did look good against UMass, but they've got to go all the way over to I don't even know where
Berkeley
is.
They're playing at Berkeley.
Okay. Oh yeah, Berkeley, California. There you go. For a team that just put up 58 on North Texas, which is spread. What was the spread? It was like 10 points.
I think it was like 7.5 points.
So
Mike was like, yeah, I'll take that.
This California team's clearly better than we thought. I don't know much about them, but it's going to be a really fun game to watch at 10:30 and just hope I can get, 2 points.
It was kind of funny because I saw that line when I was scrolling through. I was like, maybe I'll give him Washington State, Wisconsin to take this game.
But yeah, I was also like, totally in on Washington State, Wisconsin, because I really think Washington State wins that game. But this is another one that I think could be really interesting. This Auburn team has been through a lot.
Yep.
They're probably very young.
Peyton Thorne's their quarterback.
You know what I mean? Going all the way out to Berkeley, California after a huge week 1 win, probably drinking after the game. No, whoa, okay. They're probably celebrating after the game. Drinking water, I meant.
Yep.
They're probably doing, just not really, oh, it's California. We can take them. They went 4-8 last year or whatever they went, or 5-7. No worries. And then they get out there and they just get punched in the mouth by a team who is playing the biggest game in like the next 4 weeks or something. I don't know about Cal's schedule, but like, this is a huge game. You're hosting an SEC opponent. You'll probably, they got at Washington. Okay.
Jeez. Well, they have no chance in that game. I don't know if they're.
It's this game sandwiched in between North Texas and Idaho. So this is it. This is for all the marbles for them. You know what I mean? They'll have everyone there. It's 7:30 local.
They won't. They won't have everybody there. Their home crowd is not good.
But 7:30 local for Auburn. They're going to be playing 1:30 their time. By the end of the game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it is going to be a very difficult game for Auburn to win.
I think Alabama Central? Alabama might be Central time.
I thought they were Eastern.
I'll look so that we don't put out.
Yeah, false information. No, but yeah. All right, fine then. 12:30 at the earliest.
Yep, they're Central.
Darn it.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, whatever. Two hours. I think this is a tough game for Auburn. I really do, and I think California wins it outright.
I really like that game. Okay, we're going to move over to the NFL. Listen, I'm going to quickly gloss through the last year records.
Oh, no.
So Bobby went 60, 48, and 4. Fantastic year once again for him. Mike went 31, 42, and 4. Okay, Lions, Chiefs, we got that. We're all 1-0. So I think that's a great way to start the season. No use in looking back at my record last year.
What was your record last year?
There's no use in looking at it.
You have to. Come on.
I went 39, 69, and 4. Okay.
Ow!
Okay. But hey, 1-0.
It was worse than I remembered. You were 30 games below. Under 500.
I
was 30 games
below, yes. I don't.
What's that winning percentage? It's like less than 400.
Yeah. Listen, and a lot of it towards the end of the season was me just
right.
like kind of throwing games just to try and get the Lions into the playoffs. Right. So I kind of did it to myself. But that's kind of just how last year was. I didn't get lucky a ton. You know, yeah. it started with Tennessee getting lucky covering the spread against Pitt, and then it just went all downhill from there.
Yeah.
Okay. So
do you want to apologize?
No, I'm not going to apologize for that. Yeah. I had a lot of bounce of balls go against me.
Right.
So we already talked about Lions Chiefs. That was a really fun game. We'll get into it more on takeaways because I'm definitely making a takeaway about it. Come on now. So the first game we're going to talk about Sunday. We only have two Sunday games to talk about, which is kind of mm-hmm. or three Sunday games because it's Sunday Night Football. But we have one in each window, which I think really worked out well. It's not going to be like that every week. That's right. For sure. Bengals 2-point favorites on the road, taking on the Cleveland Browns, taking on your Brownies.
My Brownies. I'm taking the Browns to win outright. No homer. And I mean that literally because, I mean, like I'm going to say this and people will be like, oh, wow, he's so sure the Browns are going to win. I'm going to be a nervous wreck come 1 o'clock. Of course I am.
He's a nervous wreck for every single Browns game.
No, it's not like my job is to sound like I'm 100%.
You want
to
know.
So that you guys will make my picks.
You want to know who he's not nervous about? Texas.
Yeah. Well, no, I am. I'm very nervous.
USC, there we go. Not nervous about USC.
Depending on who they play. Oh, but Jesus. But yeah, I mean, like, listen, so this is something that definitely worries me, and although I'm going to sound 100%, like, I'm still going
just
to
don't
be,
even sound 100% okay. right now. Just
the Browns own Joe Burrow, especially in Cleveland. Like, I'm going to just put that straight up. So, like, I'm going to just say that. I'm not trying to,
that's facts.
But, like, Joe Burrow's winless in Cleveland. He has one win against the Browns total in
is
a game
one
that.
One in five?
I think so.
That probably sounds right.
Something. Oh, yeah, he might have missed one. Maybe he's 1-4.
Because I think one of them was when he tore his ACL.
So he hasn't played well against the Browns. We've really owned this Bengals team throughout his career. I'm going to take us to win. We lost last year at Cincinnati in Deshaun's second game back. He actually played decent in that game.
That was his best game, I think, in the last six games last year.
Yeah, he did play well in that game. But we, Washington, he played really well. But you know what? Defense didn't play well, didn't get a lot of good breaks. We lost that game, but beat the heck out of them on Thursday night or Monday Night Football on Halloween. So I think that this game sets up well for us. It sounds like we're going to be pretty healthy. Our defense has been fantastic in preseason. I think the Browns win this game outright in a closer one and sort of more of a low-scoring one. We saw how Joe Burrow struggled in week one last year. Some weird offseason mm-hmm. stuff with the Bengals. Joe Burrow and his contract negotiations finally got sorted out yesterday, Thursday for us. And I think the Browns win this game 27-24 at home.
Mike's also riding with the Cleveland Browns, as am I. Listen, I think, and I've been kind of hyping up this Browns team all off season, and not anywhere except like to you. But I think the moves they made defensively really make this team a serious contender in the AFC. And a lot of it does ride on Deshaun Watson, but I think he will look better. What I saw from him in the final preseason game, I really liked, and it's just about carrying that over. And I think that having Joe Burrow not play a single snap in preseason, and a lot of those guys didn't play at all in the preseason. I mean, we saw it with the Lions on Thursday. It was the first two drives, the first six plays were not good because none of them had played in the preseason. So I think it's going to take a little bit for them to get into the groove of things, just like it did last year against Pittsburgh. And I think that they'll get after Joe Burrow. It'll be interesting to see what the offensive line, the improved offensive line with Orlando Brown looks like. But you're talking about MG95. You're talking about Za'Darius Smith and the D tackle. I can't remember his
Dalvin
name.
Tomlinson.
No, it was the other D tackle that you added.
Shelby Harris.
Yeah. So I think that some of those guys, Shelby Harris is a beast in the run game too. So I think that it'll be tough for this Bengals offense given that they haven't played much in the preseason together. So give me the Bengals to win outright. I think it's a 21-17 lower scoring.
The Browns win outright?
Yep, Browns win outright. I think Vegas, like, I don't know how much home field affects the number in the NFL.
Not much.
1.5, yeah. 1 point, something like that. So Vegas respects this Browns team, in my opinion, as much as they should. Yep. I think Vegas is ahead of the curve on the Browns, whereas a lot of the national media, and it's mostly because of who they have at quarterback, which right. is, you know, I don't
allegedly
really
want to, a shady, shady guy.
I don't really want to get into it, but like, yeah. but like they're using who he is as a person, which, you know, admittedly not a great person. As a detractor of how he plays at quarterback.
Yep.
And I think that's lazy analysis. And I think that, you know, it's not a way, you know, just because you don't like the player doesn't mean that, you know, he's going to be a bad player. Right.
Right.
Next game, Dolphins at Chargers. This is the 4:25 slot. Chargers at home, laying 3 against a Dolphins team that I don't know if they have a running back. I don't know if they're going to trade for Jonathan Taylor within the next 24 hours, but it looks to be like a fully healthy Chargers team for the first time in a while versus a fully healthy Dolphins team. I don't think they have any injuries, at least off the top of my head, that we need to worry about. So, Obert, what do you think?
I'm taking the Chargers. I've always liked the Chargers with this number. I almost changed it to avoid consensus, but I am going with the Chargers. -3, this feels like easy. Slim pickings, whatever you want to call it, easy. Taking candy from a baby. Listen, last year in this game, Chargers absolutely matched up perfectly with the Dolphins, it seemed like, and totally outplayed the Dolphins. Despite a crazy Tyreek Hill fumble return
for that was insane.
50, 60 yards, this game was an absolute blowout. I'm high on the Dolphins this year, but I think the Chargers seem to play well against this team, and I think that continues in this game. Chargers have had a pretty good offseason, in my opinion, patching up some issues, especially on the offensive side of the ball, as I mentioned in our predictions episode. So I do think this offense really will be good, and I don't think that the Dolphins have a lot of answers. So I would take the Chargers to win maybe a bit of a higher scoring game than we're used to in the NFL. I would say 31-24. I don't think this line has any real issues.
Yeah, no, I like the Mike likes the Dolphins. This is, I'm going to spoil something a little bit. This is the only game where somebody picked different in the NFL. We like
very sad,
which, you know, we don't love to do, but it's week 1, and if we're all right, we said this. If we're all right, then
it pays off.
Then we're smart, right? But if we're all wrong, we can never do it again,
ever.
but he's going with the Dolphins. I'm going with the Chargers because, of course, I am. Have you met me? Listen, I actually love the way that this defense matches up against the Dolphins offense, simply because of the fact I think the Dolphins offense is poverty in the nicest way possible. And you're talking about a defensive line that has Khalil Mack and has Joey Bosa. So and they have Tui Tulipulotu now.
Yep.
So I think that defensive line is going to wreak havoc on Tua. I think his day is going to be, let's just say, not very fun. I don't think they can run the ball very well. Like I mentioned in the predictions episode, and I think that offensively, I think that the Chargers are going to want to prove a point. I think Colin Moore is going to want to show off a little bit in his first game as the OC. Colin plays there. You have all the weapons. You get Rashawn Slater back after he tore his biceps last year, like week 2 of the season. I think the Chargers win this game. I'm going to say 33-13. I think it's a
blowout.
I think it's a blowout. I really do like this Chargers team and how they match up against the Dolphins. Cowboys laying 3.5, traveling to New York to take on the Giants. A good old-fashioned NFC East rivalry game on Sunday Night Football. Because what other game would you have, right?
These teams do not like each other.
These teams really, really don't like each other.
Wow.
So, 3.5 number, what do you think?
I'm taking the Cowboys, no doubt about it. I don't think this Giants team is as good as kind of their eventual result was last year, which was getting to the NFC divisional round. I don't think they're a very good team. I think that Vikings game was almost sort of a mid-off there between those two teams. A couple of teams that were sort of lucky to be there and lucky to have the records that they had, which is a part of the game. And you know what? You need the bounces to go your way. But having said that, this is a new year, and I think the Giants sort of get exposed in this game against a Cowboys team who made some pretty good moves despite letting Kellen Moore go and keeping Dan Quinn. you know, I think that this team should absolutely be firing on all cylinders in week one. Micah has a huge game. Diggs has a big game. And obviously Brandon Cooks makes his appearance.
Had to throw Trayvon in there, didn't
you? Yeah, of course. and you know, CD has a big game. Tony Pollard. No, I said Brandon Cooks.
I think CD was the very first name that you said. No, or did you say Micah?
Said Micah. Come on.
That's on me.
Tony Pollard has a huge game. Deuce Vaughn gets in there at the end.
Tyron Smith might be out.
Tyron Smith might be out. I did see that, but Cowboys have always had good depth on the offensive line. So Cowboys roll in this game. They roll. They win this game by 20 points.
Wow. And I like that.
They win 31-11.
Mike's going with the Cowboys as well, and so am I. I don't love going with the Cowboys, but listen, I'm not.
How about them Cowboys?
I am not a huge fan of the Giants this year, but I do think it's a little. I don't love the 3.5 number just because it is week one of the season. Sloppy football. It's at the Giants' place. It's at the Meadowlands. So I don't love the number, but I am going to take the Cowboys to win, and I think it's going to be like 27-22. The Giants go for a two-point conversion to really make us sweat there in that 27-24 number. They miss it. We get the cover. 27-22 victory.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those where we're sitting here and we're like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then somebody makes a huge play and like Micah sacks Daniel Jones or something.
That would be insane.
So I'm going to go with the Cowboys to cover 27-22. Monday Night Football, Bills laying 2.5, traveling to the New York Jets. So another game in the Meadowlands back-to-back on that terrible turf. And I don't know about you, but to me, I feel like the Jets should be favored in this game.
Yes. Yep. I love the Jets in this game to win outright. We talked about this a bit in the predictions episode, / takeaways episode. The Jets have everything going right for them. Bills have everything going wrong. This just feels like a perfect spot for the Jets to kind of like sneaky, like win this game by like 20 or like,
I don't know about 20. Like I think double like, digits. Yeah.
Like literally just like sneak out and just like catch them. You know what I mean? Just catch the Bills at the perfect time. Just, you know, anything that's not going right between, you know, Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen, Sauce Gardner is all up in Stephon's face and he locks him down the entire game. And Aaron Rodgers has his swagger back and he plays the best game of his season in a long time. Not of the season, but in a long time. And these Packers, you know, weapons start clicking early, and it's Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall's back, and Dalvin, you know, Cook. Dalvin Cook, who, you know, got cut, but it is what it is.
Well, they had to because they were paying him like, I think, 13, 14 million a year or something.
And like you said, an amazing defensive line, Quinnen Williams, who is it, Jermaine Johnson, Will McDonald off the bench. Just an absolute rotation of studs on that defensive line, and defense in general, and I think the Jets beat a Bills team who's had holes for a long time, but has gotten away with it because of the skills of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, which gets neutralized by this Jets defense, which in my opinion is as good against the pass because of that defensive line, because of the guys they can rotate, because Sauce Gardner, you know, can match up against Stephon Diggs, really matches up well with the Bills, and that's part of the reason why I picked them to have a good season. I think the Jets win this game. And it's like a sneaky, like I said, like 34-17 sort of game where they just like catch them and people are really like, wow, they got them. They got them. That's all I got.
That's all you got. Mike's also riding with the Jets. I'm also riding with the Jets. I told you guys. I spoiled it for you. We all are thinking one and the same this week.
It can't go in most that of these bad. Like it could go bad where like we all go 1-4, but like we're already 1-0. So it's like
exactly
it's be the point where it's like we're all 0-5.
Exactly. We already all got that one win. And so really, what it's going to come down to is how our locks do. We know how good mine are. Listen, I think that this Jets team matches up perfectly with the Bills. I think that defensively, that defensive line is going to make an admittedly below average offensive line.
Yes.
They're going to make their lives miserable. And they already can't run the football. The Jets are good at stopping the run. I mean, we're talking about the Jets defense being a top 10 unit this year. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think people realize how talented that side of the ball is for that team. And all the focus is on the offense. Right. Guys, that defense is really good, too. They get C.J. Mosley back, too, at linebacker. I think that you put Sauce on Stephon Diggs. You put D.J. Reed on Gabe Davis. And all of a sudden, it's like, who's open? right? Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about a top three corner duo in the league. In the league, folks. And then at safety, they still got Jordan Whitehead. Tony Adams, I think, is a new guy this year. So we'll see how he plays. Because I'm looking at their depth chart right now. I don't know if I've ever heard that name before. Adrian Amos is their backup. Interesting. It's a sneaky good secondary, though. And I don't think enough people are talking about it. And then offensively, I don't love the Bills' defense. You know, especially early in it's tough because they got experience. I just think that it's kind of at the point where they're just old. Yeah. And I don't know the kind of impact that those guys are going to be able to make. And so I think it's like a 17-13 Jets win. I think it's kind of low scoring. You know what? I'll go 2013. I'll go 2013 Jets win because I do think that the Jets offense is going to put up a decent amount of points. So, locks, underdogs. We'll start with the locks. Mike's going with the Vikings at home, laying 5.5 against the Bucks. I don't know how I feel about this number personally. But yeah, the Bucks aren't going to be great. I think defensively they'll still be solid enough. And this is actually kind of, in my opinion, like a sneaky upset game.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, it's kind of like everybody's underestimating the Bucs. And then week one, they come out and it's like, oh, they beat a Vikings team that doesn't have a ton of talent.
Yeah.
You're going with?
I'm going with the Broncos, home against the Raiders. I like this one a lot because I think, you know, it's so funny in college. It's like you find a game, you've got 50 to choose from, and you find one and it's like, oh, this is absolutely perfect.
Exactly.
Like, there is no way that this doesn't work. Like, I love this
number, love this team.
You know. But for me, it's like I find that, but like when you're looking in the NFL, you've got like 7 games to choose from at most.
Yeah,
like,
because we pick 5 of them each week. It's like, and you cut off half the available games.
And there are some teams you hate or like you're never going to pick for, you know, so there you really have like very few viable options. And when you're looking at it, it's very difficult. But like, so like oftentimes, like I'm literally picking something where it's like, I think this team, like the number is like a point too low. Like, and that's it. And that's kind of how I feel about NFL locks most of the time. And this is one of those, like I'm very not high on the Broncos at all, but like the Raiders have had such a turbulent offseason. So little go their way. I would be very surprised if they won this game or even lost by 3. I think the Broncos win another ugly game, but by 7, I think they do so in a 24-17 game. Sean Payton's smart enough, right, to get the job
done here. He'll out-coach McDaniels,
you know. So I feel good about this game. This was one where I was like, all right, so there's finally a favorite that's like slightly undervalued, and that was good enough. So taking the Broncos, I think they win this game. If not by 7, they can win it by 4 or by 5 or whatever, or even by 6. So I like the Broncos to win, 24-17, 27-20, something like that.
I knew exactly what my lock was going to be the minute that the Lions got released. I was like, it's like there's no way that the Jags don't beat the Colts by more than a touchdown. There is absolutely no way. They're going to roll.
Maybe what if it's like an inverse situation where it's like those like pretty good Colts teams could never win in Jacksonville.
You think the pretty good Jags team is not going to be able to win in Indy now? No, I don't think that's going to happen. Listen, I think that the Jags are too talented. I think the Colts have been going through too much. First-time head coach in Shane Steichen, quarterback making his first start ever. And he's going up against a defense that has a lot of talent. Will he make some wild plays? Yes. Will he make some dumb plays? Yes. And I think ultimately, when you talk about the methodical, surgical way that the Jags offense is going to be able to move, I mean, Trevor Lawrence is going to pick that defense apart. My score prediction is going to be 41-10.
Is this your game of the month?
41-10, Jags win. Make a statement to the rest of the NFL. No, I don't do those. You know that.
Okay.
I have to win. I have to hit a lock first before I start getting into
game of the centuries
and weeks and months and years. We gotta nail down this week first.
Yep.
Underdogs. Mike's going with Tennessee +3 in New Orleans. I kind of like this. Just because Tennessee's that is just a gritty team that I think can go into somebody's place and steal a win week one. I don't believe in Ryan Tannehill, but you don't really need to. It could be a low scoring, sloppy game that the Titans defense and running attack just wins it for them. You, on the other hand, taking a little NFC North action here.
Yep. I'm going with the Packers at the Bears. Listen, I think there's literally as good of a chance that the Bears cover in this game than the Packers. But of all the teams that were underdogs, this is the team that probably has the best chance of winning.
It's 1 point, right? And,
right. So, like, we really don't, we don't, you know, make it so that it's like you've got influence to take, like, a huge underdog. Yeah. So, in this case, I just
it's
really...
It's just so hard. Right. It's just so hard in the NFL.
So rare that a team ends up actually being, like, a 10, 15-point underdog that actually wins. But, so, yeah, I'm going to take the Packers. I think they have the best chance of winning of any of these underdogs. I am high on Jordan Love. I think he's looked good in some of the moments I've seen from him. And I like his traits. And so I think the Packers can do it. I do still think there's a bit of the Bears that aren't quite ready. Like, they did only win three games last year. You know, I have them going, I think, 8-9. But I absolutely think there's a path that this team struggles really a lot at the beginning of the season. And maybe they can be sort of like a Lions team who at the end of the season just starts to realize we have nothing to lose after starting out 1-6. But you guys obviously had those issues at the beginning of the year, where it's just tough to find confidence. Mm-hmm. And the Packers have such a winning culture and have had one for so long. I think that they could win this game purely on that alone, even if Jordan Love isn't ready to be, you know, the star quarterback that Aaron Rodgers was. So I'm taking the Packers to win this game in a closer, you know, it could literally be, you know, 2017 or something.
Yeah. But I also don't know if you said the line on that Broncos game. It's 3.5 at home. I'm going with the Steelers to beat the 49ers at home week one. It's a 2.5. They're plus 2.5. Listen, I think that this is the exact type of game that the Steelers win. They did it last year against the Bengals, and we're talking about Brock Purdy instead of Joe Burrow. I think that that defense is going to make that offense and Kyle Shanahan's
life. Was
that
game a tie, though?
No,
the
Steelers I don't think so. I think they picked off Burrow 5 times.
Oh, yeah, but it went to overtime.
I thought they won.
Okay, maybe they did.
Nobody finished with a tie last year. So I think that the Niners come in, cross-country travel, first game of the season. A lot of their guys didn't play in the preseason. And you're playing one of the best defenses in the NFL. And I think that, you know, even if the Steelers' offense isn't fantastic, that's exactly the type of game they want to play. Low-scoring defense just suffocates you. You're going to make a mistake. You're going to give them great field position 1, 2, maybe 3 times. They might take one back to the house. If you throw a pick, fumble maybe. Alex Highsmith on one end, TJ Watt on the other, Cam Hayward in the middle. You got Keanu Benton, who in the preseason looked like he can move bodies. I really love their draft. They got Joey Porter Jr., got Darnell Washington. For as much as I don't like Kenny, I'm pretty average. I'm pretty neutral on Kenny Pickett. For as much as I don't like Najee Harris as a running back, I just don't think it's going to matter that much. And I do think we could see a healthy dose of Jaylen Warren too. So I think the Steelers win this game. I've been picking the Steelers to win this game ever since the, mid-July when I started looking at the schedule. I was like, this just is such a Steelers game to win. And I think that they do have Nick Bosa now, but like, I don't know if I necessarily love the depth on that 49ers defense. So we'll see. But that's what I'm going to, I feel pretty confident about that one.
I like it.
That was the most confident underdog pick that I think I've had in a little bit.
I like it.
So we'll see. You good?
Yep.
Thank you guys so much for watching. Hope you enjoyed. Catch you on the flip. See ya.